Welcome to the MegaCast.
Welcome to episode 14 of the MegaCast. It is currently the 20th of September in 2016. I'm joined again by both Hutto and Wilco. Good evening, guys.
Good evening.
Yo.
Hey, we'll jump straight into what we've been up to. Wilco, what have you been up to?
Well, right now I'm playing Centrelink Simulator at the moment and enjoying every second of it. And because Destiny Rise of Iron's launched, as we all know, we're all excited for it. And I'm now 241,000 in queue to get in and play the actual game. Hold on, 240 even. It's going down every second.
240,000.
Yep. So, yeah, look, I know Inglay will. So, yeah, it's been interesting. Last hour I've been trying to get in. As we were talking before the thing, they've had some servers go down, massive servers go down, and they've got this queue system set up. So,
yeah, we'll talk about it a bit more in the news, I guess.
Yeah. So, problem is people getting kicked from the queue. That's the main thing. So, look, in the last week, I went to this thing called Oz Comic Con. You might have heard it. It was pretty good.
It was great.
Had a great time. I have been playing Destiny before this, though. So, I had a couple nights of that last week playing some private matches and having a blast. And I absolutely murdered that Forza Horizon 3 demo last Friday night and had an absolute blast with that. So, yeah, we'll get into that a little bit later as well, what we've got planned for that release come Friday as well.
Mm. Sounds good, man. Hutto, what have you been up to, dude?
Yeah, not much, man. Just chilling.
Just chilling, killing. You playing any games?
That's pretty much it. Been playing Battlefield 4 a little bit, just with some of the other dudes I play games with. Just been waiting for Battlefield 1 to come back because that's all I've been keen for. Mm-hmm. Played Minecraft for a couple of hours. That's about it. No other games, really. Yeah. Went to the aquarium on Sunday.
Yeah, I saw the pictures. Looked like you had fun.
Hmm. Yeah. Got some videos as well on my channel, which is pretty cool. So if people want to check it out, go do that. And then, yeah, Lenovo hooked me up with a brand new yoga book. So I don't know if any of you guys have seen that. I know you guys probably have. But yeah, that thing is so sick. So I've got another video going up on my channel probably in the next couple of days of an unboxing and little review type thing. So definitely have a look at that if you can.
If you happen to misplace one, Hutto, you know where I live, mate.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, they are bloody beautiful
things. I'll see what's up.
Hey, I've been up to a fucking ton over the past week. I finished Deus Ex Mankind Divided.
You didn't kill anyone, I hear.
No. I got the trophy called Pacifist, which is get through the entire game without killing a single soul. You know, be really nice to everyone and stuff, including the final boss. Mixed emotions, I guess you could say. Love the game, but it's been a while since I've seen such a horse shit ending. And I didn't say horse shit, I said whore shit. That's how bad it is. It was very lackluster, to say the least, the ending of that game. I won't spoil it, but if you want to play it, the gameplay itself is fantastic. It's just great. But yeah, don't expect much from the ending. It's abysmal. I also picked myself up an X-Boner, Xbox One, and got Recall. I'm currently reviewing that. As Pete already mentioned, I went to Oz Comic Con with him as official like media for Ultra Super Mega, which was absolutely fantastic. The article now is up on the website about our experiences there. Overall, great place, really fucking shithouse food. But
it was terrible.
Did you have any of that food, mate?
I did, unfortunately. I should have gone out, had lunch outside, but I had a beef burger, which, let's just not go there. I felt sick all afternoon. I think that's the reason why I sort of left around 2 o'clock because I was just not feeling well.
Yeah, man. The bottom half of my bun was pretty much like rock solid. Like it felt like it was just hard as fuck. I had to take it off to eat it. It was ridiculous. Yeah. But anyway, also thanks to 2K Australia for sending me out a beautiful review copy of NBA 2K17. I'm a massive fan of NBA, and one of the really cool things about NBA 2K17 is you can actually play as the Australian Boomers, because we got quite a few Australians playing in the NBA over there. Paddy Mills and some other people over there, Bogut and everyone. We're doing quite well over there. So, that's a really cool game. I played a couple of games of it last night. Really, really enjoying that. And Lenovo also sent me out a goodie, Jack. thank you very much to Lenovo, an X1 tablet. It's making me look way professional at work. It's making my work life way easier. It's fun as hell to draw on. And yeah, I've actually had quite a few comments about how sturdy the keyboard is and just how nice of a little tablet it looks in the meetings that I have at work. So massive thanks to Lenovo there. Other than that, I've been playing Destiny with you, Pete, and we've been doing a bit of private matches. I've been doing a shitload this past week, actually.
Yeah, we played as well.
We caught Space Aids together on Friday night, didn't we?
That was we did too. Yeah, and I played with you, Jack, too, didn't I? Fuck, man. I've played a lot of games this week.
You've had a good week.
Yeah, I've had a great week, man. It's been fantastic. And what we'll do very shortly is we'll get into a couple of interviews, because a part of our Oz Comic Con experience for Ultra Super Mega was I got to go to the lovely Hilton Hotel on Friday last week and interview both Ksenia Solo, who is known from a TV series called Lost Girl. She played a character called Kenzie on there, and she's about to star in a psychological thriller called Pet. It's about to be released around the world, which I'm really, really looking forward to seeing. And I also got to interview Devin Murray, who plays Seamus in the Harry Potter series. So
he's a tiny, tiny man.
Man, holy shit. Holy shit. Like, he's so small, but he's so kind and so nice and so funny.
He's a funny little Irish man. That's a lot.
He is. After I posted that photo, I had to convince people that it wasn't photoshopped.
Yeah.
Like, I did. Like, he's that small. Like, people were like, that's got to be photoshopped. I'm like, no, he's really that small. But yeah, look, we'll get into it. Without any further ado, welcome to the Megacast, Ksenia Solo.
Lovely to meet you.
You too.
I've already asked you how you're enjoying Australia.
Yes, and very much so.
You love it? I guess first question is, have you heard any Australian slang while you've been here?
I have been very eager to learn it. so at first, the first time someone said, how's it going? I was very confused. Because to us, it's like, hey, how are you? So now I am not weirded out by that. I actually think it's lovely.
Did you get the good accent, like, how's it going? Or did you just get the how's it going?
Yeah. No one's like, how's it going? I'm like, it's weird when you're American to say that, but I have tried it a couple times, like with phone calls back to, like, you know, friends and family back on the other side of the world, and they're just like, what? I'm like, how's it going? How you going? And they're like, what are you doing? I'm like, it's Australian. I'm trying to be cool like the Australians. At one of my cons, someone told me not to say fanny pack, so that's...
No, don't.
No. Fanny pack.
It's bum bag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Heaps is something that I've heard quite a bit. I find that Australians say beautiful quite often, which I think is so lovely. I would like to implement that word more into my vocabulary. So things here and there, I'm trying to pick it up.
Have you heard much of mate?
Mate, yes. Okay, good day, mate.
Yeah, good day, mate. Mate's an interesting one. When you're in friendship groups, mate turns out to be the one where you're actually angry at someone a lot of the time. In close-knit friendship groups, you'll find that it's interesting. A lot of people think that Australians say mate all the time. To strangers, we do, but if you're in a close-knit friendship group, things are getting serious when your friend goes, listen, mate, it's pretty serious.
Okay. Good. I'm glad you told me that. I feel more informed now.
Yeah. Hey, it's been close to a year since the finale of Lost Girl aired. What have you been up to since?
I've been up to a lot. I'm on a television show called Turn. I did a stint on another show called Orphan Black. I have two films that I worked on, one called Pet with Dominic Monaghan, and one called In Search of Fellini with Maria Bello and Marilyn Rice Cubb.
Nice.
And I'm just waiting for those release dates, and I have, you know, things brewing right now that I'm deciding on, and then we go into the fourth season of Turn this coming fall winter.
Awesome. I had no idea that Dominic was Charlie from Lost. I looked it up and I was like, oh, rad, because I haven't seen him in much since Lost, and that's really, really cool.
So fantastic in this movie, so I'm very excited. It's doing its festival run right now. We just did Fright Fest in London, and people really responded to it there, so we're both very proud
Definitely.
Of
it. I did look it up, actually. Me and my partner love thrillers, love horrors, and what is Pet?
Pet, without giving too much away, is a psychological thriller slash twisted love story. It's been compared to Gone Girl meets Hard Candy. I hadn't done really any genre films, and it was because the scripts that I had received in the past, nothing really spoke to me as much as Pet did. it gave me the chance to do a genre film that, in my opinion, is very different than anything that I've ever seen. So I hope you get to see it and you like it.
We actually can't wait. We're a big fan of those psychological thrillers. And I was actually going to ask, like, you know, it has been likened to both Hard Candy and Gone Girl, movies in which the person who appears at first to be the victim might not necessarily be the victim.
Right.
Was it hard playing such like an in-depth and interesting and rather polarizing character on film?
It was extremely challenging, but that's why I knew I had to do it. Yep. And that's why the script spoke to me so much, because I was like, I don't know how to do this. It scares me. Okay, this is a really great sign, and it's truly one of the most complex and challenging roles that I've ever played, but that's why I gravitated towards it.
I'm really excited to see it, because I think that's probably the reason why these movies aren't more prevalent, is because those characters are such hard characters to really grasp and play. So right. Very, very excited to see it. Okay. Hey, tell us a bit about Holly.
Holly, again, without giving too much away, Holly, when we meet her, is your, you know, typical sort of girl next door, very popular, you know, a lot of boys vying for her attention. And we, throughout the film, learn, you know, who Holly is, and what sort of made her the person that we discover her to be. So if that's not vague enough, then I don't know what is.
It's adding mystery to the movie.
Mystery, yeah.
Moving back to Lost Girl, what was it like saying goodbye to a character that you played for so long? Like, I mean, it was nearly five or six years, I think, you played?
I think like 7 years seven? Since we did the pilot.
Yeah.
It was interesting. It was bittersweet.
Mm.
I feel like I had a bit of a different process because at the end of season four, I took a bit of a back step. So in season five and six, I'm not there in the same capacity that I was for the previous four seasons. So I think I went through the process of like, wow, this huge chapter in my life is over, sort of before the rest of the cast did, who were there in the same capacity until the very end. And it was, again, just a very interesting feeling. You're moving on to sort of a new chapter. You're leaving behind this family. And we really were like a family. I mean, it felt like we spent 24 hours a day together.
Probably did in some cases.
Yeah, for all those years. So I was happy to accept new challenges. And a part of me was, you know, sad to let Kenzie go. And it was very hard to shake her off.
Yeah.
For quite a while. I sort of didn't expect that. I thought, okay, I've played this character, I can move on, I can play other characters, but it took me about 8 to 9 months to really like stop playing Kenzie and other things that I was doing.
Yeah.
So that was just sort of a complex process.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Hey, I see that you're also a big part of Stand for the Silent, an anti-bullying organization, which, being bullied in high school myself, I'm sure everyone goes through bullying in high school. You know, it sucks. High school is shit. tell us a bit about your role there and what Stand for the Silent does for bullying around the world.
I first discovered Stand for the Silent when I saw a very powerful film called Bully. I suggest that people see it if they have not. I hope that it's available all over the world for people to see. And I was very moved by what I saw. Stand for the Silent is run by two parents who suffered the tragedy of losing their son at a very young age because of bullying. Mm. He stood up to his bullies, and unfortunately, it didn't end well for him. And so in his honor, Stand for the Silent goes around to different schools all over the world. And we do presentations with kids, and we just have a very honest conversation. And I think what makes Stand for the Silent different is that it's coming from parents who have experienced bullying in a very intimate way, and with losing their son, it just gives them a very different perspective, I think, than someone who's just talking with a group of people and saying, don't bully. You know, it's coming from a very, very deep place. And I saw the film, and I found them, and I found when their next presentation would be. And I ended up getting on a plane, flying to Chicago, and I wanted to see for myself what it is that they did, and what difference they made. And I was so moved that I just felt like I had to be a part of it in whatever way I could. So, you know, I just try to get the word out. I think it's incredibly important to talk about it. As with these issues, a lot of the time it's just not talked about enough or in the right way. And so, again, if I can use my name as an actor, as an artist to spread awareness, then, you know, that's what I try to do.
Yep.
But it's a wonderful organization, and I just can't speak enough about them. And the difference that I have seen with my own eyes is just mind-blowing.
Yeah, it's a very important cause. I mean, suicide rates in males in Australia are quite high. Quite high.
Okay, really?
Yeah, very, very high. Much higher than females anyway. And wow. especially in young males. And I've actually got a one-year-old boy. He's just turned one. So, you know, I've been thinking, I went through bullying in school, yeah. and it drags you down. It's a shit feeling. Yeah. It's not a fun feeling.
Absolutely.
And my parents, brilliant parents, love them to death, didn't know how to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like that. It's, I guess this is more of a personal question for me asking as a new parent, like, you know, it's good that these organizations are out there, because I almost guarantee you that Seth, my young one, will go through it at some point in his life.
Yeah.
And it's important that these organizations are out there to teach parents and to teach kids and to teach everyone
Absolutely.
How to actually, you know, to get through those hard times, because
yeah.
it's always better on the other side,
yeah.
regardless of what you go through.
Together, I think it's important to like sit everybody in a room, or not sit everybody. I don't mean to make it sound like a boring, like
an intervention,
but,
right?
an intervention, but like to get the bullies, the people bullying, you know, and then the victims, and to get us all in a room and say, guys, like, what the F is going on?
Mm-hmm.
Let's try to deal with this. And I think there's so many issues. Like, again, the parents need to be informed. I think kids need to have more support growing up in the school system. I think it's
100%.
Important for kids to have an outlet. That's my thing. If I wasn't an actor, and if I didn't have that growing up, I don't know where I would be today.
Mm.
Because that was my one thing of like being in the school environment and being miserable and basically going home and crying every day because of the hate you experience. It just, you know, it makes you feel like shit about yourself.
It does.
And then it's really hard to get up in the morning and like face the world when that's, you know, the reaction you're getting from the environment around you. So if I didn't have acting, I don't truthfully know how I would have gone through that. So I'm very much about supporting kids, teenagers, who even adults, whoever it is, and making sure that people have an outlet, whether it's creative or whatever it is, whatever you love. I think when you do or have a hobby or you do something that you love, it
yep.
just
should be nurtured by everyone around
absolutely.
You 100%. Yep,
yeah.
definitely. Hey, what else do you do in your spare time? So you've got this anti-bullying organization, you also run a polio sort of polio eradication almost, or you're a part of that as well, spreading the word about that. What else do you do in your spare time apart from acting and helping people?
I'm a big lover of music, so music is something that's in my life all the time.
Favorite band?
What's that?
Favorite band?
Favorite band, that's very hard to pick, but the two that I sort of always gravitate towards no matter what happens is a band called London Grammar. They're an English band, they're amazing, and a band called Mute Math.
I know both those bands.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Amazing. Because usually everyone's like, who? I'm like,
no.
You have to get on the train.
It's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Pretty damn good bands. Yeah.
I don't know. To be honest with you, I've been working nonstop for a very long time. So to me, when I get a day off, like even just like watching Netflix is like a celebration, or seeing people that I love, or being able to go out and have a great meal, like simple things.
Yep.
I think I'm really appreciating right now.
Yep.
I love traveling. So, you know, if work can sort of bring some cool travels along with it,
yeah.
then I'm always a happy camper.
Well, you get to come to Australia.
Exactly.
I mean, that's pretty damn cool.
Exactly. It's very cool.
I guess the last question is a bit of an interesting one, a bit of a fun one. If you could star in a television series with any three people, living or dead,
oh my God.
Who would you pick?
That is so difficult and amazing. If I could star in a television series. Okay, well, Christian Bale is like my favorite actor, favorite male actor. Marion Cotillard is my favorite female actress. If you don't know her, she's amazing.
Where's she from? What's she done?
She's French. You may have seen her in Inception. She played Leonardo DiCaprio's wife.
Ah, yes.
Film La Vie en Rose, which she was just breathtaking in. So just to pick like my favorite actors, again, the list is very long, but because I have three people, this is who I'm picking. So Christian, Marion, and let's say, just for fun, let's say Elvis.
Elvis Presley.
That's a very strange group of people.
For some reason I can see Elvis and Christian Bale getting in a fist fight. I don't know why.
Okay, so it makes for perfect television.
It would be very, very good. Great. I mean, Mythbusters was on for how many seasons and they hated each other apparently. Yeah. So, you know, awesome. Well, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so much.
Really, really looking forward to seeing Pet.
Best of luck with what you're doing. It's very cool.
Thank you to Ksenia Solo for that incredible interview. And it was such a fucking blast getting to interview her. She was really, really, really lovely. And Stand for the Silent. What do you reckon of that, Pete?
Look, that's one of the key things I was really interested to find out more about when I heard we were getting to interview her. It's such a good cause. Mm-hmm. Touches the lives of so many probably of our listeners and many people out there in the community. So it's good to see that... Well, just the fact that it is coming from some people who actually have some experience or some extremely bad experience with the situation. But, it seems like a fairly good cause, and I'm glad that she picked that up and went with it. So,
yeah, I'd say so, man. Stand for the Silent. The anti-bullying organization. Check it out. Have a look and see what you can do to help that out. That Pet movie, man.
Yeah, man. That's... very interesting. It wasn't on my radar at all, but now I'm definitely going to be looking into that. And I've got to admit, I've never watched Lost Girl, and I may just have to go back and catch up on that.
The movies that it was likened to, both Hard Candy and Gone Girl, have you seen both those?
Just Gone Girl. That's
the
only one.
Hard Candy's fucked, man.
Yeah.
Hard Candy's a pretty old movie that I heard about when I think I was like in maybe just out of high school. It's pretty old now. It's about a young girl. She's quite young. She poses on the internet. She's not posing on the internet. She is a young girl on the internet. And she starts flirting with pedophiles. And then they come to her house and she kills them, more or less.
That sounds pretty good.
It's kind of fucked. So it's been likened like a cross between Hard Candy and Gone Girl. So I'm pretty interested to see it. Sounds very, very good.
Sussing that one out, but she's a very, very lovely lady, so glad we got to talk to her for a bit. So
definitely moving into the second interview that I was lucky enough to do on Friday. Welcome to the Megacast, Devin Murray.
Hey, first of all, yeah, great to meet you, Devin. Welcome to Australia. You've been here before, but welcome again.
Thank you very much.
I hear you had some issues with an airplane.
Oh yeah, we had something happened with the engine and it wouldn't start up properly. And I was absolutely terrified.
I guess it's better on the ground.
Exactly. Once it didn't say that in the air, I'd have just lost my life. But we got here anyway.
So did they just say that engine won't start, we've got to turn around and...
Yeah, pretty much. And we were all just sat there thinking, oh my God, what's going to happen now?
That's interesting.
Just don't try and take off, lads. Just stay on the ground.
Yeah, at least I told you before. Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, it was pretty recently that the 6-year anniversary for... You would have last shot your last scenes and stuff like that.
That's right.
What have you been up to in the last 6 years?
In the last 6 years, I've kind of got back to normality, been Devin Murray again.
Yeah.
I've been out horse riding pretty much every day of the week. I've got to see all my family again. It was being on Harry Potter for 11 years, I had to give up horse riding on the very first movie. My mum came over with me as my chaperone. My dad had to stay back home and pay the bills. So I didn't get to see him an awful lot. And then, just writing, and then I do a lot of charity work back in Ireland and over in the States.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I've been doing on a daily basis.
Yeah. So what, you had to give up horse riding. What was it, a contract thing saying you can't hurt yourself or?
Pretty much. I'd won a couple of classes and it was in some of the newspapers and the headline was Harry Potter star trades broomsticks for horses. So
the media.
Warner Brothers saying, I'm like, no, gotta give up, Devin. So just in case I fell off and broke my back or broke an arm or done any damage and I wasn't able to film them for a couple of weeks.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
They make you do that. Hey, obviously you're best known for playing Seamus in the Harry Potter series. I'm sure you get asked about your favourite memories on set all the time. I think I watched an interview with you recently and you said that Malfoy was actually the cool kid on the block and he was the bloke who did skateboarding and everyone wanted to be like him.
Oh, big time, yeah. Tom was just the most laid back fella ever. He was the real cool kid. Everything he done we all tried to copy. not as good as him, but we gave it a go.
Have you got any I guess I'm going a bit of a different tangent. Have you got any bad memories from set? Was there anything that just you woke up in the morning and were just like, oh fuck, not this again today? If there was anything that you hated doing on the set?
Hanging around doing nothing all day. There were some days you knew that you are not going to be used at all, because there was two or three other big scenes being shot the same day. And then on the schedule, it said, like, you're going to be in for, like, the last 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, really? You're going to bring me in for a full day, hang around, drink bad coffee all day, play computer games. That's what I didn't like. But, look, it had to be done. Something had to do.
Someone has to sit
just in case games. We had those 5 minutes to go on set.
Yeah, definitely. Were there any people you didn't get along with on the set, or was everyone just lovely?
No, like, somehow the cast and directors got it down. Like, they done a good job. Everybody got on, which was great. It made everyone's life so much easier.
Yeah, it would have.
On the very first day, we were doing the read-through, and we all just kind of ganged up and went out and went checking out all the studios. And it's an old World War II aircraft hangar.
Oh, yeah.
So there's, like, all these tunnels underneath. There's all the... It was just amazing. So we ended up going down into one tunnel, and the producers and everybody come down, get out. And they were trying to tell us that they had old explosives underneath the runway.
What?
And had we have opened this, something would have happened. I doubt it would have happened.
Now
I
think that's the headline. Harry Potter cast blows themselves up.
On day one.
On day one.
But I highly doubt there was anything down there. I think it was just to scare us from actually being down there.
Yeah, most likely I'd say so. Hey, look, I guess, myself included, a lot of people can't even fathom what it would have been like on set with so many amazing people. You know, Alan Rickman and people like that just hanging around on set. At the time, did all you guys, like, being so young, did you know what you were a part of then? Like, did you have any idea that Harry Potter was going to be fucking Harry Potter? You know what I mean?
Definitely not. Like, I'm dyslexic, so I'd never read a book in my life. I didn't know who Harry Potter was, what Harry Potter was. And I got sent over to do a screen test. So we went over, I was doing a screen test, and I walked straight past Dan, Rupert and Emma. And I walked over to the director, and I thought he was Harry. So I went over, how's it going, Harry? Nice to meet you. And everybody just kind of looked and started laughing. And I think, what in the name of Jesus have I just done? So then he ended up telling me what it was all about. And I was like, oh, cool. So he's Harry and not you. Your name is Chris. So then 2 days later, I ended up getting the part. And there's a lot of these big actors, and I didn't have a clue who they were. 11 years old, I wasn't allowed to watch half their movies in the first place.
That's true.
So once I met them all, my mom and dad were like, okay, you can watch some of their movies. So I kind of caught up on what they've done previously, and then I became a big fan.
You saw Die Hard?
Die Hard, yes. Of course I have. Fantastic movie. But then Brendan Gleeson came onto the set on the fourth movie, and he played Mad-Eye Moody, and I was just completely in awe.
Yeah.
I've grown up watching him and, like, in every single good Irish movie he's in it. So to actually work with him was amazing. He sat beside me in the lounge flying over to the UK. And it was the first time I've ever seen him. And we were filming the next day and I couldn't open my mouth. I was completely starstruck. I was like, oh my God, Brendan Gleeson is sitting right next to me. So, but he was such a lovely man. He was really, really nice.
That is amazing. So when did that penny finally drop? Like, when did you all sit down and kind of go, shit, this is big?
Probably at the premiere.
Yeah.
Like, even before the premiere, we kind of had an idea. Like, we had press following us. We had people, random people just coming out and camping outside your house.
Really?
Which was cool. Like, it was mental. Like, I was only 11 years old, thinking, oh my God, what's going on here?
Yeah.
So kind of we started thinking, oh my God, this might be pretty big. And then we got to the premiere and we're like 2 or 3 miles away from Leicester Square. And we could hear the crowd just screaming. So my heart was in my mouth. I'm the most socially awkward person in the world. And getting out in front of like tens of thousands of people, I was thinking, oh my God, I'm just going to die, or I don't know. So yeah, at the premiere, we were all like, man, this is just insane. And then we realized that they were going to make every single movie from then on.
Yeah. Far out. That would have been an incredible moment.
Yeah.
Hey, how many times do you reckon you've said the line? Like, everyone, I know everyone asks to hear it, and everyone asks to hear it every single interview. How many times do you reckon you've actually said that line, including takes, interviews?
You know, I couldn't even put a number on it. Far too much. Like, every day of the week on Twitter and stuff, people are always saying, they always tag it and hashtag it and all that.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then my friends, they all got it on, there's something on your phone where, like, you dub smash.
Oh, yeah.
It's called, and they have that line on it. So I get sent that by my friends
all the
day
time.
In, day out. So, but yeah, I'm well used to saying it.
If you could turn water into any drink, what would it be?
Cider.
Cider, straight away.
I'm a cider man, so, yeah. That's awesome. Whiskey.
Whiskey, yeah, I'm a whiskey man too. Hey, that's all I got, Devin. Thank you so much, man, for talking to us. It's been a pleasure.
And cheers, buddy.
I really hope to see you in something new very, very soon.
Yeah, so, fingers crossed. Yeah, cool. Thanks a lot, man.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Cheers.
Thanks, Devin, for that. How do you be not knowing who someone like Alan Rickman is, Pete?
Yeah, I completely understand that you'd be like that, but it's just so unbelievable that sitting there, like an actor like that, we take for granted, but obviously at 11, you just go, gee, I wonder who that guy is.
Yeah, true.
Why does he look so weird? But obviously to go back and watch things like Die Hard when he was allowed to, it's an interesting story. One, obviously, besides just Harry Potter itself, just being able to talk about he knew people like that and didn't know who they were. It's just such a good story to be able to bring up at parties down the track. So
it is really cool. And I've got to say, I think I first saw Die Hard when I was pretty damn young, but maybe not 11.
Not 11. I wouldn't think so. But I think Alan Rickman was in a fair bit of stuff. But yeah, so at 11, you're not really looking at trying to find the fine arts of movies, I guess. But
the fine arts. I think he was in Dogma. I wouldn't call them fine arts of movies, Alan. He was a brilliant actor, but no.
you never know. He's been in a lot, though. He's been in a very, very lot of movies. So
yeah, unfortunately passed away early this year, too, didn't he?
Yes, unfortunately. This year, last year. But lost a great. But interesting to see how they didn't realise what they had until they turned up to the premiere. And
Or when they nearly blew themselves up. That was quite a funny thing to talk about as well. But, you know, whatever.
I still reckon that was just a scare tactic. But the 11-year-old kids out of the war bunkers. So.
Yeah, well, thank you very much to everyone involved for setting up those interviews and for setting up those Comic-Con. And Jack, you beautiful bastard, thank you so much for helping us set that up, man, because if it wasn't for you, we wouldn't have gone to Oz Comic-Con, we wouldn't have had those interviews, and I wouldn't have had such a fucking incredible week. So thank you very much, Jack.
Oh, don't even stress.
I
got you back.
I don't stress.
Oh, I'm not stressed. Just thank you, mate. That's awesome. Yeah, it was a really good weekend.
Yeah. All good.
It was great. Hey, let's get into it.
This is the fucking news.
We're doing something a bit different on the news this time. The Australian sales charts for video games, week ending September 11th. Pete, why don't you run us through a couple of these?
Well, at the top, being such a new game, obviously Deus Ex Mankind Divided, or Deus Ex, whichever way you want to go, topped out Uncharted 4, Thief's End. So
that's weird, number two.
Yeah, Uncharted's still going. What's that, a July release? June? May? But it's still going, obviously.
Yeah.
Minecraft.
I think that'll always be in the fucking top 10.
Can I tell you a story quickly before we go too far into this? Especially for Haddo. I picked up my daughter from vacation care today. She said they had an electronics bus pick her up and they had a bit of a gaming session on the electronic bus that they got to play on today. And she said, we played Minecraft. And I said, oh, okay, cool, fair enough. She goes, Daddy, I never want to play Minecraft again. It's so boring.
If that wasn't your daughter, I'd punch her, eh?
That was the number three selling game for last week, considering it's been out for, what, Jack, what, 5 years, 6 years?
It's ridiculous. Yeah, I think it's coming up to like 6 years this year, because I've been playing it for about that long, so somewhere around
this. No doubt I'll have to buy it fairly soon, because she actually did like it, so. But that was the first words out of her mouth. Yeah. But Overwatch is hanging on, and Grand Theft Auto 5, as ridiculous as it is still floating around up there. So it's a pretty good top five, and I would probably definitely play at least one of them.
Mm. I would play. Well, I think I've played all of them. Yes, I have. Yeah, definitely.
I have.
Number six was Madden NFL 2017, which is kind of weird considering that, you know, we live in Australia and Jared Hayne isn't over there anymore. Number seven, Doom 2016, arguably one of the best first-person shooters in the past 10 years. Number eight, The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt. Number nine, Call of Duty Black Ops 3. And number 10, interesting. Yeah, No Man's Sky. I checked, hey, you know no one's heard from Sean Murray since like August 18th or something like that was his last tweet.
Really? Yeah, there's been no Twitter activity on about No Man's Sky at all, but about 2 weeks, 3 weeks after release, it just stopped dead.
Just died, like from being like the most trending thing on Twitter to like nothing, and like they're issuing refunds and stuff. But my main concern is like Sean Murray is usually quite vocal, and he has been very vocal over the past couple of years. And seriously, man, check his Twitter. Literally nothing since August 18th. That was the last thing he released, and it's kind of actually concerning. Like I hope he's doing okay. Like obviously he poured his heart and soul into this game. You could see it,
definitely.
And the backlash that he's gotten is just fucking crazy.
Well, there's either two theories for it. One is either he's just gone F you, I'm out of here. If you're going to treat me like this, I don't care. And that's you've got the game, that's it. Or he is working feverishly trying to get the game to where maybe the public thinks it should be. And he's staying away until he's got some solid info, because obviously that was a big issue. He came out and talked too early about the game is what the commentary out there is saying. So maybe he's trying to just go quiet until he's got some more actual info to say, rather than just stringing everyone along.
Such an interesting situation.
I hope he's going okay, because he's a good guy and he doesn't deserve some of the shit that he got given. So
well, I mean, the big consensus now, browsing around in places like Reddit, is that he just took the money and run, like kind of like scam artist side, scam artist sort of style. I don't believe.
No, where's the long play in that? Like that's it. That's all the money he's ever going to get. He's never going to make a game again. If he comes out and actually fixes it, makes it one of the best games on PS4 in 12 months' time, then he's making a third and a fourth game.
Yeah, definitely. So. Yeah, agreed. Urien is getting released for Street Fighter V on the 23rd of September. Pretty exciting stuff. I kind of am, Street Fighter V, big fan of Street Fighter. I loved playing 4. 5 didn't really stick with me, hey?
Yeah, I have it on my PC and I've never played it. So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Jack, are you a fan of fighting games, Hutto?
Not really. They make me too angry.
We should play one night, just for a laugh. Make you real angry.
I broke my keyboard again.
Growing up, like it was a Bubble Bubble cabinet and a Street Fighter 2 cabinet. That was the only things we ever played.
Yeah.
And, so Street Fighter should... And then Tekken, as I was growing up, that was one of the main things when PS1 was around, just smashing out Tekken all the time with the mates and at school. So... Love my fighting games, but I just don't anymore. I think it was the fact that it was always a co-op thing with someone next to you, and now it's all moved online. And you're playing against people who are way better than you.
That's what I was about to say. The skill level, the entry level for these games is much higher than it used to be. You used to be able to sort of button mash and get away with it, but now if you jump online, even like 2 weeks after a game's been released, a fighting game like King of Fighters, I think King of Fighters 14 is out now. I think it is, or something like that. And like I booted that up quickly and jumped online and just got fucking shrecked, mate. Like so hard. Like it was just ridiculous. And it's just fighting games are very, very hard to get into if you haven't been competitively playing them for, the past few years. But yeah, Street Fighter 5.
I don't know what they can do to really fix it either. So it's one of those things.
I don't think they really need to.
Yeah. They've got their core audience, but... If they're happy with that, they're happy with that. So
yeah, I don't think they really need to. Like the big games, like the Street Fighters and the Mortal Kombat's, will probably we'll see a bit more commercial success. But all the other games, like the Killer Instincts and the King of Fighters and the BlazBlues and all that sort of stuff, will remain their niches. And I'm sure that's probably where they're happy to be. But yeah, Gears of War 4 has gone gold ahead of its October 11th release. If you're a fan of the Gears of War franchise. Yeah.
So it's I played 1 through 3 and I don't remember them. And I don't even know if I'm gonna play 4. It does it's a good third person. Yeah, third person cover based shooter as like the rest of them. So nothing I've seen so far has wowed me to make me want to jump in and get it. And I know it's going to be on PC as well because of the Play Anywhere. And that's probably where I'll pick it up if I do down the track. But there's so many other things that are grabbing my attention more than that this year. But that it's gone gold, no more delays, probably a day one patch. It's probably 13-14 gigabytes, but October 11th, here we come.
Definitely. Witcher 3 will not be receiving any PS4 Pro upgrades. Who cares? Like, this is barely even news. I don't really...
No, exactly. Just go start working on Cyberpunk even harder. Don't waste any time. Bring a Cyberpunk as soon as you can.
And there are some people that are fucking butthurt about this, hey? Like, there are some people online that are really? Like, oh, fucking yeah, fucking why wouldn't you? Like, why would they? They've sold the game. They've made their money. If they're going to keep, like, remastering every couple of years, then they're never going to make anything new. Like, fucking lay off.
They've already got the expansion pack, which was good enough. Like, this is a game that came out last year, didn't it?
Last year or the year before, maybe.
It was one of the games of the year last year. So, and it, yeah, wasn't, it was, wasn't an end of year release, it was a start of year release.
I think it was right at the start of the year. I think you're right.
So, why should it? People just, my vocal minorities just go away. I'm sorry.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed.
By the way, just an update, 164,000 in the queue.
Oh, let's just do that now. Let's do it now. So,
Destiny's launched.
Okay, yeah, the new Destiny expansion has launched, and it's fucked.
Well, it's their first. It's their first issue they've had with the game.
No, it's not their first issue they had with the game. The first issue they had with the game was that there was barely any fucking game there, and they released it for $60.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about server issues at launch.
Fucking bringing it up, okay, Jesus.
Take it. I have no.
It is.
Patience for this anymore. Like, I don't, like, I'm sorry. Like, I explained before the podcast, like, there are, you know, there are people out there who can affect it, like university students who can, like, when that big thing for the Australian Census website happened and they claimed that they were hacked and attacked, which is bullshit anyway, but they claimed that they were DDoS'd and that, you know, their servers couldn't take this load. And then two fucking university students came out and for $1,000 built a website that could handle like 10 times the load that the government one could because they actually fucking used brains and properly stress tested it. I'm sorry, but I don't have patience for multi-million dollar companies who do not stress test their fucking shit and this crap breaks on day one. Fair enough if you're a tiny, tiny company, like if you're releasing like an indie game and you're expecting to only have 100,000 people, but all of a sudden you have, you know, 40 million people buy the game, I understand that. But this is Destiny. They've had large crowds before. They've had lots of people coming through their servers before. There is no excuse for this.
I just got booted from the queue, by the way. I'm now 360,000.
Yep. Holy fuck.
There's no excuse for this. Like, I don't... they're doing a good job by still releasing updates and stuff like that, but fuck, guys. I mean, seriously, you're not, you know, you're not Hello Games. You're, you know, you're fucking Bungie.
Yeah, so this, they've had everything lined up for this to launch smoothly because they've had... The patch went out 2 weeks ago, so everyone's had the content. There was a hot fix this morning. It was... fixing minor issues, was not small. I was only small. This was supposed to be a 6:59, you're not playing Rise of Iron, 7 o'clock you're playing Rise of Iron.
Mm-hmm.
It was as simple as that. And then as server farms were going down, and they just, it took them 15, 20 minutes to come out on Twitter and actually say what was wrong. And then it was another 20 minutes.
I can guarantee they would have been sitting there fucking with their heads on fire, just looking at each other going, what the fuck do we do?
Yeah.
Because in situations like this, it's very hard to find where the problem comes from. I understand that I work in IT. Sometimes it's very hard to ascertain exactly what the problem is. But I mean, you know, I mean, the problem, the other issue is that they're not being, I don't believe they're being as transparent as they need to be. Like when we started this conversation before the podcast started, Pete, I said, the servers are down. You said, no, they've just implemented a queue system. And I was like, that's why they've done that. They've got back-end servers that are down. So they've implemented a queue system to siphon people into the servers that are working instead of, you know, people just bouncing on the servers that are dead. So they can sort of funnel them into the portions of their network that are working. I'm not too sure exactly how much they've lost, but they appear to have lost a large amount of their back-end sort of infrastructure that allows people to connect into their servers. They're not really telling anyone that. They're sort of just like, hey, we've implemented a queue, servers are down. Like,
yeah,
you know. No ETA. We're just saying we're working on it. You know, it's kind of...
The upside is, if you wanted to laugh, Twitter has absolutely exploded and nothing but Tapier pictures all over it. People have been photoshopping Tapiers onto whatever they can to do with Destiny. And one of my favourite ones is it Beetlejuice looking at a number that's 9,200,000 and something or other, then looking up at the screen and it's got number 2. And the Brits have copped it hard. It's as soon as they said the queue system, every tweet was, Bungie's just hop in the queue, get to play the game. Brits are loving this. Rah, 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 rah. So,
yeah.
Yeah, it's just gamers, when they've got nothing to do but sit there and watch a loading screen, they get very creative very quickly, and I loved it. So,
yeah,
I
think they do get creative.
Half an hour at least of just watching Twitter, and Twitter broke at one stage because of it. So,
far out. But yeah, look.
What can you do?
Well, hopefully they fix their shit. That's what they do.
Yeah, they will. I have faith in that, and tomorrow night I'll be playing it fairly successfully. Hopefully tonight, I do think we'll get on at some stage tonight. But and I know Dee and Josh are out there playing it right now, because I was sitting in Discord with them before they got in. But yeah, it's a little bit crappy. And
yeah. What do you do? Like, what do companies, like, when you
got that backup server sorted out, don't you, at the start?
Well, not about the backup servers, but how do you give back to the community for something like this, right? Okay, you've been teasing this for a while. Yep. People have pre-purchased the game and spent millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars on your game, you know, all the people collectively. How do you give back to the community when you fuck up a launch this badly, when you know, 50% or however many percent of the people cannot play the game that they've bought and that they're expecting to play? What do you do?
I can almost guarantee there'll be an in-game cosmetic thing, an emblem, I'd say.
Yeah.
They might even send out, I think last time there was major issues, they actually sent out engrams to people, so legendary engrams. So they have a track record of looking after their players. And I don't think this will be any different. I think you'll get a comical little emblem or a shader or something like that, and you'll get a little engram. You might get some silver to spend at the store, or an emote, to like a waiting emote or in queue emote, something like that. They'll do something funny. They know they're fucked up, and they'll take the piss out of themselves to get everyone back on side. That's the one thing about Bungie that I do understand, that they definitely do that. On some side note to do with this, we talked about Space AIDS before. Did you catch up with all the infection stuff that happened pre-launch?
No, so I know that there are infections floating around, and I know that Australia was primarily infected with... for those who don't know, if you've been playing Destiny lately, you can jump in the game and you'll see like weird fucking bugs flying around your head.
This started about a week ago, just under a week ago.
Yep, and that means you're infected with a certain kind or virus. Certain strain of virus. There are five different viruses. As it stands, Australia is predominantly infected by one certain virus, and the other viruses are spread around the world. There are some of the other strains in Australia, but they're in smaller chunks.
Yeah, so it was our sector was the website. I tweeted it out earlier on in the week, but it gave a graph of where everyone was. Josh did confirm for me when he got in first thing about an hour ago that you get an emblem if you were infected. So there's a nice little cool staticky looking Our Sector emblem that you'll be able to get and show off. So that's what the result of all that was in the end. So,
just an emblem, or is there something more?
Just an emblem so far. That's all he's found. I only got to talk to him about 10 minutes before I got on the podcast, and then he was still looking around at other things. But at this stage, it is just an emblem. So just a little bit of a thing. Cool. Apparently, they've done it in WoW before, and it actually... the disease control people studied.
They didn't mean to do that in WoW. So what happened?
The first one they didn't mean.
Yeah, they didn't mean it. So this is a, you can look this up, and it's a well-known fuck up in terms of game coding. Back in the days, I think it was ZG, Zulgrub. I think it was Zulgrub, which was a raid in WoW. One of the bosses, when it was brand new, could infect you with like a debuff.
Boiling blood or something?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
And for a while, you can actually teleport out of the raid and take it with you. So, you know, some people accidentally teleport or intentionally teleported out of the raid, and this thing spread when you came in close contact with other people. And it didn't take long, but eventually pretty much entire servers were just dead. Like, this thing spread so fast from someone, like, you know, going from a raid back into a highly populated town and infecting everyone around them, and it just spread. It was so bad, in fact, that the global CDC, which is the Center of Disease Control, now uses it as a as sort of like, you know, a viral spreading simulation study. And a case study. They actually rely on it in terms of case study and stuff, and how to quarantine and lock people down and stuff. But yeah, it's very, very interesting. Happened in WoW back in the day. Look it up if you're interested in it. It's actually really fucking cool to read about. But yeah.
They tried to replicate it with a zombie infection later on, I think, on purpose. Yeah, they did.
They did it on purpose later on, but the accidental one was hilarious. It was so funny.
Yeah, I was wondering what the fuck those things were flying around my head. I just got angry about it and turned my PlayStation off.
Yeah, because we were streaming on Friday night with our community night that didn't really go ahead, but we still had five of us in there, and Walfred, the UK boy, decided he was watching the stream, decided to join us, and he had them, and he infected us all. So yeah. We're like,
I think I infected Jack. And I infected you, Jack, when we played the other night, and it was good fun.
Was that you dirty fuck?
Yeah.
Why would you do that to me?
You killed him. You catched it.
Now I got that like way. The AIDS, and I got to try and get rid of it.
No, you don't have to try and get rid of it. Just live with it, mate. Learn to accept it.
Already done.
Hey, we're going to move on to something that is a little bit out of the gaming field, but sort of not in the same way, just because it could eventually lead to zero lag in video games across the board.
Yeah, I'll be back soon.
Alrighty. Nah. So this deals with quantum physics. Two separate teams of researchers have successfully transmitted information across an entire city via quantum teleportation. Now, they've done this using quantum entanglement, and what that means is when you entangle a particle, so you can entangle like a photon, it means that no matter how far the two photons that you entangle together are apart, when you make changes to one, the changes are instantly like on the other one as well. Like straight away, like it's like a mirror effect. So if you entangle two particles together, you make changes to one of them, regardless how far they are apart, the changes happen simultaneously to the other particle. That's what entanglement is. And they use this to transmit data. So I don't know how exactly they did it. It's way above my head. But, you know, these massive, you know, these relays and stuff that they're using and computers that they're using are able to transmit very small pieces of data, photons of data, across entire cities instantaneously, this is where it breaks your head, which is faster than the speed of light because it's instant.
So I don't need to wait for the NBN anymore.
Look, right now it's fucking useless because it's cool, but you know, they can do a total of 17 protons per minute at about a 50% success rate at this point. Protons are very, very small. Not too sure if you know what atoms are made of, but you know, they're made of protons, neutrons, and electrons. Protons are incredibly small, much, much smaller than, you know, Hutto's Willy. It completely useless at this point, but you're down the road, it could potentially change the way. Down the road, it could potentially change the way that we send and receive data. Which is really, really exciting for me being in IT, and could be exciting for games because, you know, no one else ever will be able to blame the fact that you beat them on lag because it's instantaneous, which would be really nice. Maybe.
Nah, I'm still using it. Stuff there.
Listen to feedback time. We only got one question this week.
I didn't even ask anyone for questions, so that's impressive. Well done.
There's two there, isn't there?
I asked a couple people for questions. There's two there, but it's from the one dude, BensonHD. That's _BensonHD _ on Twitter. Oy. He's asked us, how does one reach meme status on the internet? This is obviously for Jack Hutto in reference to Just Hutto Things, maybe.
How is Just Hutto Things going anyway, Hutto?
Oi, I don't know. I had checked it the other day and there had been a few updated on there and I was like, what the fuck? And there hasn't been one in like a day or two now that I've checked. Okay. But I don't know, man. It was so funny at the start. And then, yeah, it's kind of dropped off a little bit, but I don't know. Maybe it was just a thing that someone did for like a day and they've got over it, but I don't know.
He's basically asking, how do people become as cool as you? So how do people become as cool as you, Jack?
I don't know.
You can't do
it. Yeah, no one else can do it. Yeah, just get on the pingers. Just get some Monster in ya and just say fuck yeah to everything.
Fuck yeah to everything. That's I like
it.
That.
If someone asks you to do something, say
fuck yeah.
Fucking off. And then do it. It doesn't matter what it is. And that's it.
All right, I'm going to have to practice that. Yeah. Fucking elf.
Right, see? Cool. Nah, this will go back to your thing the other night you were telling us about your whole, you know, someone told you how to talk to people better. You can just say, fucking elf, yeah, fuck yeah, and then you're fine. And then
when my CIO comes down, one of the directors comes down and goes, hey, Matt, can I talk to you a second? I'll go, fucking elf, fuck yeah, fuck yeah.
And then they'll be like, hey, fuck yeah. And then everyone will be fine. And then your whole business will run better, I guarantee it.
Yeah, I think so. You're a good idea. That's a good idea. Your ideas, man, Jack.
So, yeah, that's pretty much it question. To the answer. Fuck yeah.
I like that answer. Fuck yeah. Second question. What was the geekiest thing you lost your shit to at Oz Comic Con? We all went. Hutto, you went to Sydney. Did you see anything there that you lost your shit to?
Oh. Nah. Not really, eh? I was too busy working and taking photos of lots of shit. I don't know, I've seen a heap of cool cosplay, and like I like cosplay in general just because some of them are really bad and some of them are really good, and you never know what you're going to get, so that's always exciting. But apart from that, like, it was just the same thing. I think probably the most exciting thing that like excited me was the sweet and sour lolly shop. I went there and I got six containers worth of lollies over the weekend, so that was definitely the most exciting part for me.
Yeah. That'd be, yeah, that's pretty cool. I thought you were Forrest Gump there for a minute. I'm sorry. He threw my train of thought. Wilco, what did you spy at Oz Comic Con?
I want to quickly put a shout out to the Death Squad. What are they? The Death Troopers with their unveiling where the curtain didn't come down completely.
Fuck, that was funny. Like it was right in front of me, hey. I was so stoked because I'm a big Star Wars fan and the music's going like and I'm like, oh shit, here it comes, and the curtain goes ping and falls down, but all of a sudden it didn't fall down in front of me.
One little clamp held on.
So
it was just right in the center too, so that was hilarious. Was so but
funny.
Honestly, the best thing I got I enjoyed out of it was the spray painted hats. You saw photos of the one I ended up buying. This guy was, spray painting hats for you, and I picked one up for my one-year-old, and he did a little Spider-Man little outfit on it, and he put his name on there. So it was some unreal hats in that little display. I can do a shout-out to him because Airbrush Caps, if you want to find them, they're at airbrushtatsandcaps.com. So I've got their card here. I'm about to do an article up on the kids side of Comic Con, so I've got a whole heap of gear here that I'm going to shout out to a lot of people. So,
awesome.
That was probably the thing. Yeah, I geeked out about the most. These cool hats with all kinds of weird shit on them.
Cool. Well, the thing that I lost my shit to was the food because it was fucking horrendous. But the geekiest thing that I lost my shit to at Oz Comic Con, God, there was so much, man. How long do we have on this? I really, really enjoyed
77,000 in the queue, so we've got plenty of time, don't worry.
Yeah, I really enjoyed all the cosplay. There was some incredible cosplay walking around the place. There was a Joker that was really, really cool. There was an old school sort of a Joker. Judge Dredd was walking around, which was fucking rad. There was Alan Parrish from Jumanji. He's always at a light. I saw him at the Comic Con, at the last con, I think Supernova, last year, and he was running around going, "What year is it?" Which is fucking, great. Just everyone who cosplayed, thank you so much. You make these things incredible to walk around.
Did you get to see Keith Urban at all?
No, we didn't get to see Carl Urban, you dickhead.
Oh my God.
He was very busy. But I geeked out really heavy to a few things. I geeked out a lot to the weapon store. Like there was a weapon store that was selling replica. Yeah. Anime weapons and shit, which I thought was really, really cool. I really wanted to get one of the Attack on Titan blades, but I didn't have the money, which is fine. I geeked out to the statues and to the comics. Man, I was looking for it, but there's this one World War Hulk statue that I've been looking for. It's like $1,000, but it's fucking gorgeous. And like, I'm so afraid that I'm just going to have money one day and just be like, yeah, fuck it, because I collect dumb shit like that. The comics that were there were really, really cool. I was, I had to put down all the Preacher comics because I'm a big fan of the graphic novel Preacher. I've only got the hardcovers, book one and two. I need three and four, and five and six. And they were all there. I was like, fuck, I really want these. Saga was there. I fucking love the graphic novel Saga. If you're not reading that, get on it. It's like a really fucked up, like sort of Western Star Wars. Well, Star Wars is kind of a space Western anyway, but it's fantastic. Saga's really friggin' good. Man, there was, like, seriously, there was so much. I geeked out, like, consistently throughout the entire day.
Can I also say the view we had from the media room? Like, I didn't
think, man, how good was that?
But, yeah, that was awesome. That was getting really up on the good. One level up and see everything from that angle. So,
is there any photos of
who put that on for us too?
Because the media room at Sydney is like right at the very, very back, and it's just got like those black like foam walls, and it's just like built this little square, and you just put like your camera gear in there. There's no like media room in the middle where you can see everything.
Nah, man. We got our own, like, you had to walk up a staircase up to the top, like it was a second story, and then you had like a metal, sort of walkway that went above, like above and to the right, almost lengthways of the entire con. You can walk up and like look down and take tons of photos and stuff. There's photos of it, like in the, not the actual media room itself, but looking out from the media room, fantastic view of the entire con.
Why do you guys felt like celebrities and I just felt like I was working the whole time?
Yeah, no, that's the girls awesome. there helped us out a lot.
I need to go to Brisbane actually and check it out then.
Yeah, you do, man. And it was sick because, like, I think it was me and Joey sort of went back into the room, and Sophie was there. And Sophie's a rad chick. She sort of organized all this for us.
We love you, Sophie. And,
we love you, Soph. And so we're up in the room, and she's on the phone, and she's always on her phone. She always seems really busy, which is really, really cool. It adds to her persona. It's really fucking sick. And she's on the phone, and she's like, oh, and she points at us and she waves over and she's like, okay, I've got Ultra Super Mega here. I want these guys and my photographer to be front and center for the Death Trooper reveal. And I was like, oh, fuck yeah. I felt so important that she was like making demands that she wanted us to be front and center of the Death Trooper reveal. I felt so fucking cool. It was just everything about that day was just amazing. And thank you to everyone. Again, I'm going to say thank you for the rest of my life. I'm so thankful that it happened. And yeah, it was just fucking sick. What are we looking forward to, though? That was what's happened in the past. Moving forward in the future, Wilco?
Yeah, look, obviously when I get to play some Destiny, I'm definitely looking forward to that. Rise of Iron should take up a fair chunk of my next 3 or 4 days up till Friday, where I then turn my attention to Forza Horizon 3, along with, I think, most of the Ultra Super Mega Boys will be getting it either early access or just straight on launch. So this Friday, I'll be doing a big stream of that, probably about 8 p.m. through till I fall asleep at 2 o'clock in the morning. And then because I'm reviewing that for you for the website, I'll be playing that pretty much all weekend. And just whenever I've already booked it off with the missus. We've only got to dodge a barbecue on Saturday night where I won't be doing it. But when I'm playing it, I'll be streaming it. I won't probably on mic for some of it because I'll probably move the Xbox back out to the lounge room, get on the big screen and see it on the big TV. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so keep an eye out for that. I'll just follow me on Twitter and or get me on Twitch, and if you want to keep up with how that's going. But from Comic-Con, my little one loved the Lego display that was there, and it was brought to the Comic-Con by Briz Bricks, which is www.brizbricks.org, and they've got a expo coming up on the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd of October. So we're probably going to head down as a family on the Sunday and check that out and probably do a bit of a write-up for the website on it as well. So it's got some pretty rad-looking stuff there. So pretty keen for that one. But that's it for me. Yeah.
Hutto, what are you looking forward to, buddy?
Just getting on the pingers. I don't know. I'm just always looking forward to Battlefield 1. And I'm also looking forward to Dragon Quest.
Didn't that get delayed?
Man, if Battlefield 1 gets delayed, shit will go the fuck down, I guarantee it right now. Hard.
Yeah, Dragon Quest Builders, man, that looks pretty cool, eh?
Yeah, you sent me that the other day, and I've never played Dragon Quest, so I don't even know what that is. I'm going to have to do some research into that. But it looks really cool. It looks kind of like, obviously, a lot of people are saying, I've seen like the best comment on their YouTube video so far was, oh my God, now Minecraft is becoming a genre of game, which I think is fucking hilarious. But I love Minecraft, and this game just looks like an updated sort of a little bit better graphics wise of Minecraft. So I'm super keen. It'll be something different. And yeah, I know. This looks fun. But that's about it.
Yeah. Beautiful. Obligatory Final Fantasy 15. Everything Final Fantasy, man. The TGS, there was some new gameplay of the remaster of Final Fantasy 12, which looks fucking phenomenal, actually, might I add. It's a PS2 game, and that thing looks really, really good. Those screenshots that are coming out, as long as they're not, you know, rendered out the fucking shit, doesn't look anything like that, it's going to be a really cool game, which is good because Final Fantasy 12 is a game that I never really got around to playing because the sort of the time that it came out, the PS3 was actually, or it came out so late in the PS2 life cycle that the PS3 was already out. So, you know, like I was sitting there and I was like, do I play my PS2 or do I, no, fuck it, I'll play PS3. So Final Fantasy 12 is a game that I never got around to finishing and I'm really, really keen to go through it. World of Final Fantasy as well. Another game that's been released, which I'm looking forward to. Anything Final Fantasy, just fucking anything. As Jack said, Dragon Quest Builders, I'm really keen on that. I'm a big fan of the Dragon Quest series and moving into this sort of Minecraft story-driven builder game where, you know, people have forgotten how to craft things. Like, you know, apparently towards the start, like you like take a stick and, you know, a rock and put them together and you make something and you show it to someone and they're like, how the fuck did you do that? And they're like, all amazed and shit. So I'm really looking forward to that. God Eater 2, I still need to buy that. Persona 5. God, there's too much, man. I'm really, there's too many things
I'm
looking forward
to. You forgot to put in here the whole PS2 collection that I dropped off to you on the weekend as well.
Oh, yeah, man. There's some fucking great games. Actually, there's a Dragon Quest game in there.
Yeah, there is. That's what made me think about it. So.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to playing that. I might have to try and set it up and maybe play a few of those on stream, maybe play through a few of the old PS2 classics on stream because it'd be really, really fantastic. And thank you for that, Pete, by the way, too. It has bolstered my collection quite substantially. I'll have to add them all in to my collector's app, which I'm currently using and writing a review for the website as well. But let's do the shout-outs and plugs and then sign it off for the night. Wilco, where can we find you, bud?
Just type in www.wilcoschillzone.com.au or Wilco's Chill Zone on Twitter and YouTube and Twitch. It's easy as.
Sweet. Hutto?
I am just at Jack Hutto on all of the social media accounts you could possibly imagine. That's me.
I'm Super Mega Matthew on Twitter. I won't read all mine out, but you can catch most of my stuff on ultrasupermega.com.au. We've got tons of stuff up there, got more reviews coming up soon. And again, massive, massive, massive thank you to Sophie at her PR company. Massive thanks to Jack for setting all of that Oz Comic Con stuff up. Big thanks to Lenovo as well for sending all this free stuff to us. And we'll see you guys next week.
See ya.
Later.